one man will refuse to abandon his standards for action. All April long, Apocalypse Video is celebrating the best of high-flying, show-stopping thrills from the 90s.
Sir, pull up! You got one on your tail!
Get him off my tail!
Everything from Air Force One to Con Air.
How the hell did this happen? How the hell did they get Air Force One?
Political thrillers to skydiving escapades.
Go for the tires!
Fuck the tires! I go for the pilot!
All the action you could want from the decade that excelled in lighting up the skies. On the second episode of Air Force, Apocalypse Video puts on some shackles and boards the Jailbird, a specially designed aircraft that houses the sickest, most depraved criminals in the country. But when Cyrus the Virus and his cadre of lunatics hijack the plane, former Army Ranger Cameron Poe must use all the power of his training and his slow-motion hair to stop Cyrus and ground Con Air for good. Strap in and hold on for the ride of your life as Apocalypse Video brings you Air Force.
He's a U.S. Ranger. Highly decorated. Did a little hell-raising when he was a kid, but nothing serious. He's defending his wife. Got in a drunken brawl. And he killed a guy. Could have happened to you or me.
After serving the last of his sentence, Cameron Poe is taking the first plane home to his wife and daughter.
Today's flight is a special one. We're populating Louisiana's Felton Penitentiary. These guys are the worst of the worst.
I see a lot of celebrities among us. I see 11 primetime lives, 3 Regents and Kathy Lee's, and a genuine 2020 interviewee.
What you looking at, punk?
Nothing, I was just admiring your cage.
But one wrong flight.
Stewardess, what's the in-flight movie today?
Can ruin your whole day.
What happened?
We caught the plane, man!
Welcome to Con Air.
Jailbird One, you are not cleared for takeoff.
And nobody on this aircraft gives a flying.
The issue here is how the plane is brought down.
Shoot it down.
There are innocent people up there.
He's got a little girl to come home to. He's been waiting for this day for 8 years.
What are you gonna do?
What do you think I'm going to do? Almost hit day.
This summer, check your weapons. Take your seat.
Isn't that your car?
And say your prayers.
He's got the whole world in his hand.
From Jerry Bruckheimer, the producer of The Rock, Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich.
Where are they going to land this thing?
How do you feel about the blackjack tables?
On June 6th. Con Air, directed by Simon West.
Thank you, and have a pleasant flight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. I have the only gun on board. Welcome to Con Air.
Hello, Hummingbird, and welcome to another episode of Apocalypse Video Air Pool Edition. I'm your host, Dave. I'm also your captain for this podcast. I'm joined by my fellow staff here, Ryan.
Dave, you know when you're in a situation you can't control.
I'm also joined by Michael.
He's a font of misplaced rage. Name your cliche. Mother got him too much Taco Bell or not enough. Last pick for the Mountain Dew Livewire. Whatever. Now he's so angry, moments of levity actually cause him pain, give him headaches. Happiness for that gentleman hurts.
That's really impressive.
You know, why don't you keep all those thoughts to yourself, Michael, for the rest of the flight. I'm finally joined by a former Army Ranger. Her skills make her a lethal weapon, Jackie.
I got you a present, Casey. It's a little dirty. That scene does actually move me to
tears. I think you guys are moving your mouth too much. You gotta just not move your mouth one bit.
There's also just, as again, at the very end, he says, I meant to get a haircut. And you're like, what are you doing with the R's and the, like, you know, it's so, it's a funny? Rich, rich tapestry.
It's funny, in our previous Aeroprol episode for Air Force One, like, Mike and I were talking about, like, the things the movie was known for. We're like, okay, obviously Get Off the Plane is the big one, right? And then the second one was the bad CGI when the plane crashes in the water.
Yeah.
Con Air is a movie that is known for several things, one of them being this accent.
Dear Hummingbird, break out the fine china, chill the lemonade, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Cause this boy's coming home to his ladies. Coming home forever. I just hope I'm not a disappointment to Casey or to you. Love, Cameron.
I think the most famous lasting legacy of this movie is the gif of Nicolas Cage getting off the bus with the hair.
And the hair flowing.
There's also the put the bunny back in the box.
That's the big line for the movie.
Yeah.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
And also, obviously, welcome to Con Air. Like, this movie, this was a big movie.
This was a lot of movie.
On that welcome to Con Air, I'm just right off the bat, I need to sell Jackie down the river.
Yeah, I had a real stupid-ass bitch moment.
Can you tell everyone what happened when they said welcome to Con Air?
I didn't realize that they said it in the movie, and also that I was like, oh, I always thought it was like a joke about the hair care stuff, but they're literally, they're convicts, and they're making a joke about an airline, and I just said it like so. First day on Earth.
There's convicts on the plane.
Oh, I get Con Air. Oh, yeah.
You thought they were referring to the hairdryer?
Because, like, Nicolas Cage's wig is so... I don't know.
Part of me thinks that you wish it... Maybe it would be smarter if it was
there should
like
have been
that. You were giving it more than it needed. It's pretty... It's a trailer line only. It shouldn't be in the movie.
And it's funny, too. They say it twice in the movie. John Malkovich says it, like, full on, like, really it's the trailer line. Welcome to Con Air. But then, I swear to God, they do an ADR line later when they get off the plane. You can't... It's like a faraway shot of Malkovich, and they ADR him saying...
Thank you for choosing Con Air.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
think really that was like bit. A snake, get these snakes off these motherfucking plane thing? Like they like added, that was like a pickup?
Yes.
That they did?
I think that was a pickup.
They're like that. They loved it in the trailer.
There is not going to get that the convicts are on the plane and that's why it's called Con Air.
Well, no. That line was such a big moment. They're like, we got to hit that beat again.
or maybe they even like that, because it's only him in that shot when he says the line. So that could have been like a. Picked up shot, like a picked up video, like a thing like later, like for pickups, you know, like kind of like, where they're like, we need like something, because to me, this movie is just like, it's taking a lot from the time. It's kind of like, what if it's remix to Michael Bay and some other things and stuff.
What if but we chop and screw? Yeah, like,
yeah, it's
a
chop
bunch
and screw and like, you take all these things from other things. And I think,
the directing style of this is very like, we have Michael Bay at home. Also, I'd say like, I like this more than a lot of Michael Bay movies. And I think there's also a lot of John Woo going on in this movie.
Slow motion, people flying away from explosions.
And just kind of the general plot, honestly. Like, the plot feels very like John Woo, like, you know, in the vein of like a Hard Boiled or something.
Or
like
Face
that.
Off or something.
Yeah,
or of just
face
like,
off. Yeah,
this
crazy
would never
Nicholas.
Actually on Earth happen.
If you
but
told me this
it.
Was one of John Woo's American movies, I'd believe it.
This was like, we should say,
I mean, 97 was a big movie year, obviously Titanic. But the other big thing, Nick Cage, he had this and Face Off in the same year.
God.
Well, this would have been the same year as of Air Force One.
In Air Force One?
Yeah, we went over this,
yeah,
right?
He was also
this was
the president.
Also nominated for Best Sound Design, along with Air Force One losing to Titanic.
Well, everything lost. Well,
yeah.
Don't remember if I've said it on this program or just privately, but Nicolas Cage is one of our finest living film actors because he's always gonna fucking bring it. He will always.
Yeah. And he brings it with this accent, man. He goes all in on this accent. And his hair, like
the hair acting. Ugh. Like, come on.
That moment, like there's so many like little pieces of acting from Nick Cage here, which is so funny. Like there's a moment later on in the movie, kind of jumping ahead when like the undercover DEA agent like reveals himself and he gets shot. And like the whole time, spoilers. Like Nicolas Cage is like, you're in a situation you can't control, right? He's trying to de-escalate. The guy gets shot and it cuts back to Cage and he just gives this look like... Such
dang
a shame.
It.
You know, like, damn, man, I tried to help you. But it's the kind of look that's so funny. It's almost just, how do I explain it? Do you guys know what I'm getting at? The look he gives in this moment where he's like.
Yeah, he's just
I wish you
can
see
well,
Dave's face. He's kind of doing like a squinty smile, turning his head.
He's only giving shucks. It enough. Like, I didn't like this guy, but it's like, that sucks. But he's not broken up about it, you know.
No, I mean, there's a lot going on in that situation, and he's got to play it cool. Who's cooler than Poe Cameron or Cameron Poe or whatever it is?
And I just so po if
Dameron?
We're talking about Cage,
Poe Dameron,
we're talking about Cage here. They do him up a little bit, but he looks freaking jacked.
Oh yeah,
in this movie.
Look, his body is looking all right.
Holy cow!
Good
looking man. He with that big weird face.
Him being Cameron Poe and Poe Dameron. Do you think
Jackie said that like immediately? Was like that's one letter difference.
I was
he's
like,
not Poe. His name isn't Poe Dameron.
No, but Cameron Poe. Okay,
Cameron Poe,
Cameron to the last one and change one letter,
well, yeah.
And you get Poe
Cameron. Poe Dameron.
J.J. Abrams was like, "Yeah, that's Star Wars enough."
Fixer hates fucking J.J.
Fucking
Gracie Abrams. Jesus Christ!
I hate Gracie Abrams' dad. Oh, but that really was, we're watching it and I'm like, Cameron Poe is already a silly name for an action movie. But then, yeah, like.
Jackie basically did the same thing
later.
Ryan just did
watching
this
I didn't
movie.
Think of it just until she said, you guys said it.
Poe Dameron, fucking JJ. God
yeah,
damn.
Fucking
so hack. Come on.
Well, let's jump into the plot of Con Air. Who wants to take this on?
Well, did you ever, is everyone's first time watching?
Oh, yeah, we hit that first.
Yeah, we should
No, I saw this in theaters when it came out.
Hell
really?
Yeah, brother.
It was a big theater movie.
You were,
how
old were you seeing this R-rated
movie
in theaters?
You always ask this. You know I was seeing that. My parents were letting me watch Friday 13th at like 8.
And you know that Dave is 70 years old.
I'm not surprised at you watching the movie. I'm surprised at you going to the theater is like at 8.
Well, as long as you're with your parents, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I mean, I
would have been like 11.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to say this on...
11 actually
One.
Is probably the right age to watch this movie.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't see this in theaters, but but Air Force One was the first R-rated movie I saw in theaters, I think, which was the same year. And but I never really engaged with this movie too much, I think.
Oh, really?
I didn't ever. I think I have seen it on TV, at least I would say, from the moment they land at that weird... I don't know what the fuck trailer park thing. Like, I don't know. It's like they land on a movie set, you know,
I
guess.
Well, it's an out of the way airport that the cops won't be around.
Yeah.
And
it's like an Air Force
dust planet.
I swear I've seen the movie probably from that point to the end a lot, but I don't remember the first half of the movie.
I never seen it and didn't know anything about it other than it was a popular movie. I didn't even know this is where the Nicolas Cage gif was like long hair. I mean, I pieced it together pretty quickly watching it, but this was like a total blind spot for me.
Yeah, I think it just wasn't really I don't know why I didn't really watch it. I'm trying to figure, because I probably would have. Like, I loved, like, Armageddon and all that stuff, like, of the
this
time.
Is that time.
And,
yeah. You're and like, I, just, I like a big, trashy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it turned me off. I think there was something about it that, like, I was like, I don't like it. Just. I mean, I don't like what everyone's doing. It was like a thing, I think.
There's quite a few racial jokes that we wouldn't be making today.
Well, yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't have picked up on that, but sure. I just, like, the vibe was just, it was just dirt. I just was just like, this movie is not, it is dirty. This movie.
It is dirty.
It's a dirty movie.
All these convicts on this plane.
And the vibe is, yeah, like,
it turned me off.
Malkovich is bringing, like, some malevolence to, like, this, this.
Like, it's not fun. Like, I don't, like, I mean, it is fun. But I was saying at the time. Fun. I was thinking my thinking at the time, like, why I didn't watch this, like, when it came out.
It almost sounds like someone describing the Saw franchise, what you're saying.
I know.
I can see that, though, maybe as, like, a little kid or something, seeing glimpses of it on TV, being like, oh, this is, like, gross.
I know. I don't know. Something about it, like, maybe I didn't appreciate Cage at the what he was doing at the time or something. But there was nothing... there's no kid. There's no, like, space.
Well,
there's nothing...
There's
nothing,
a kid, but well,
I'm just saying, like in the market, like, something to grab me into it, you know? Like Air Force One had Han Solo in it, you know what I mean. So I'm like, there. I need to watch that. Like, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this
President
doesn't have
Han
any,
Solo.
Like, there's none of my guys in this. I mean, until John Cusack, you know, kind of thing. But he's not. He's like the square in the movie. You know what I mean? But
he's playing John Cusack.
He shows up using $5 words, and everyone's like, "Fuck this guy."
We pick up Mr. Sandino in Carson City. From Venter till the plane hits Alabama, we've got 2 hours to get him to talk. We got you a seat right next to him, and he's known to be somewhat garrulous in the company of thieves.
Garrulous? What the fuck is garrulous?
That would be loquacious, verbose, effusive. How about chatty?
What's with dictionary boy?
Thesaurus boy, I think, is more appropriate.
But yeah, but anyway, that was just my thought before watching the movie.
You weren't ready for it.
I wasn't ready for it.
You were a child. You had yet to put away childish things.
Can I say, watching this now for the first time, I was ready for it. I really like this movie. Cards on the table.
So do you think the Oscar nomination for Best Sound was deserving, Mike?
You know what? Actually,
most sound.
It's funny because we talked about Air Force One, which is a movie I like less than this, but...
That's wild.
Sound design of Air Force One is definitely better. Like,
I agree.
I don't even think this is like, I guess I'd need to watch more 97 movies to say for certain if I would nominate this. But like, watching this now, to me, this doesn't really register. It's like, it's fine. It didn't stand out to me one way or the other. And the way that, like, watching Air Force One, one of my big takeaways from that movie was, wow, that was good sound design.
Yes. This one was like, I mean, it was kind of, this was just more of an assault, like a frontal assault of guns and explosions. Whereas Air Force One, I mean, that's what I would refer to as like precision sound design. Like, it was very well
done. And
like,
you know, talk about an assault. I don't think anything assaulted the sound system quite like the plane, you know, just leaving after it, you know, barely clearing the other plane in Air Force One. You know, there's nothing like that in Con Air to that extent. Like, as bombastic as it is, I don't think.
What about
just like it's like constant noise?
Yeah, yeah.
Except,
like maybe it wins the Academy Award for most sound.
Except when those beautiful tones of "How Do I Live" come in at the very end.
Yeah, and I saw that was nominated for Best Original Song, which I didn't know
was actually.
I didn't know it was an original song for that movie. I thought that was just like a famous song.
Well, I get it because it's an earworm,
yeah,
for sure.
How do I live? Yeah.
I
but I
that
imagine
was just
it
like
lost
popular...
to Titanic as well, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, how could it not?
Yeah, I mean, there's some good. That year had all these people. They, you know, like Elliot Smith was to play at the Oscars that year for Good Will Hunting and stuff like that. Like, it was a big, it was a huge music year too, and they really put Setsia like the '90s, man. I think like this is all I was thinking about during this movie, where I was like, God, if this movie was made today, it looked like shit, and it had have like Kevin Hart in it, and just like that's it, it'd be the only star of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And be like, and I'm saying like this is just like these guys,
I bet there's a strong possibility you get a Jack Black in there.
Maybe,
yeah,
but I'm saying
but that's
like
2020s Jack Black. You don't really.
Yeah, I'm saying like this is a trashy. This is a movie, a stupid movie for stupid people, you know, including us.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, It's but these guys are like put giving their all, like they, all these, oh, and they're yeah, big
it's
actors.
Big cast.
It's a big stacked, cast. Big okay, actors. I'm just gonna say the cast up front, just for in case anyone doesn't know, because it's wild. Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich, Ving Rhames, Steve Buscemi. And I think those are the big ones.
Well, Dave Chappelle. 90s oh, yeah, Dave Chappelle. Chappelle.
Yeah. Dave Trejo's, like in, Trejo's in there.
Yeah, you well. Got Chief O'Brien himself.
I was going to say, we got
Meany.
Cole Meany in the mix. I loved seeing my guy there.
He wait, was such a piece that? Of shit in
who's,
this movie.
Who's that?
O'Brien as the shitty like FBI guy with his douchey car who's like, you can't do that, John Cusack.
He has a line which is crazy where he's just like, I want to break that guy's clavicle or something. Yeah, like, what?
This would have been right so after Star Trek, too.
Yeah, or like during, I think.
Yeah,
he would have been on Deep Space Nine at this time.
I could totally see why this would be appealing to him as like a very different role than Chief O'Brien. Danny Trejo, we didn't mention.
Oh, Danny Trejo! Oh my god! I don't love the role, but you always love seeing him show up
playing one of his most despicable character.
Yeah, yeah, it's not great.
All of these characters are very. 90s ideas of crime, I think.
Yeah.
Like it makes me think of like how people view crime in the 90s. Like Danny Trejo, he's a rapist and it's like, well, how does rape occur in the 90s? It's like an evil guy waiting in the bushes to do it, you know. Yeah. It's not
an evil scary Mexican man who is
it's you know, not really
his
how
name
it actually
is Johnny
happens,
23 but. For the amount of women he has raped.
Yes.
It's that, really, really
that
cool
the,
and
the
chill.
Michael Bay influence
cool,
right there.
Cool.
Tu eres Juanio 23, si te conozco.
23 cargos de violación.
Mira, un corazón para cada mis 23 marranitas. Call me Johnny 600 if they knew the truth.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the same ring to it. Anyway, I despise rapists. For me, you're somewhere between a cockroach and that white stuff that accumulates at the corner of your mouth when you're really thirsty. But in your case, I'll make an exception.
One of my favorite things in this movie, too, is you get two, like, there are like two separate characters in this movie who are Hannibal Lecter-coded.
Yes! We get so many Hannibals in here. We got to get into it because plot-wise, because by the time we get to the titular Con Air, like we've had these wrestling ass introductions for bad guys, and like yeah. It's so good.
We get
good.
Two roll calls in this movie.
Yes.
John Cusack is playing Sideshow Bob.
Yeah. No,
what?
Well,
no, John, not John Malkovich, Cusack. Yeah. John Malkovich. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Wrong John.
Anyway, well, let's set up our hero first before we get into the grime, the sweaty, dirty nature of this movie. Let's set up our hero. It's I think it's like Texas or Louisiana or something.
It's Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama. Of course.
Mobile.
He just. Oh well, what am I saying? We get this.
We get Forrest Gump.
We get Forrest Gump he
and
comes
Bubba.
Home. But
this
but
is
what
why, this movie
this,
sucks. I think the stuff like that sucks in this movie.
Well, here's the thing, and this made me laugh. This was really 90s. This is the bit of the rah rah like you know patriotism in this movie. The movie opens with like an instructional video or something like the Army Rangers.
Since the 1700s, Rangers have led the way in every major confrontation in which the United States has been involved. You men are credit to that fine heritage, and I'm sorry to see you go. But you've served your country well, and you've displayed the ability to fight on to the Ranger objective and complete its mission, never leaving behind a fallen comrade, no matter what the odds or the enemy. I thank you. America thanks you. And I wish you luck wherever you go. And remember, Rangers lead the way.
It's like he's graduating to be a Ranger, I guess. And
or he's done with his service or something. I don't know. But it's a
way,
really odd, like, you know, it's the rah-rah patriotism.
It's
okay,
like, all right,
that's our hero.
Let's get to the violence. And we do immediately where he goes to his wife and they're like, we're so happy. We're going to have a family. And then these some dirtbags are like, hey, I'm gonna harass you.
It's funny. They're basically like they're celebrating at a bar, and then they go to leave the bar, and the parking lot. This all occurs. It's like
where is this torrential rain?
Yeah, and it's like they're at the Sparks factory. Like, this parking lot is
like an oil refinery or something. Yeah. There's like flames coming out.
Active, like, belching fires. It, like, they, it's so funny that they, like, okay, they went to the bar and the parking lot is like
the wife works.
They walk into another dimension. They,
yeah. Yeah, they walk. They walk into like a Universal Studios live show of like a scene where they're going to be attacked by marauders.
It does feel like that. I don't like the beginning of the movie.
And these guys come out of the darkness, like you said, Mike. They come out like 90s rapists, like, yeah, like they come out of the darkness.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we're going to assault.
I think this is all, I was having a great time.
Well, so then in an act of self-defense, Nicolas Cage kills one of the scumbags. And then the worst attorney ever is like, yeah, no, you just got to just take the plea deal.
It's so funny. Like, I was like, the whole time I'm like, there's so many witnesses. Everyone at the bar saw this go down. Mm-hmm. Like, your wife saw the actual attack. Like,
very easily, clearly, like, fight.
Like, four of them ganged up on him.
Can we try, like, a self-defense angle here? But the attorney's like, you're fucked, Nick.
You're so fucked.
You gotta just plead guilty.
Well, and also the judge is like, you're an Army Ranger. I saw the beginning of the movie. You're a lethal weapon.
It's so funny.
We gotta lock this man
up.
Like,
the idea that he's just like, yeah, all right, I'm just gonna go to prison for, like, 8 years and eat this, like, is crazy.
Yeah, well, because he's a law-abiding citizen.
It doesn't make much
sense.
He's
like, I'll respect the decision. Mm-hmm. So then he's in prison. He's writing letters to his dear hummingbird. We get a great montage.
I love this montage. And I love it because, like, there's moments where it's also further establishing he's a badass. He's a Boy Scout. He's doing, like, handstand push-ups.
It's the classic thing of, like, I'm going to go to prison and I'm just going to train. Like, I'm
ripped and grow and out that luscious hair.
I'm going to learn origami. I'm going to learn Spanish.
We get the long hair now. Like, he didn't have long hair at first.
He had
normal
clean
hair.
Cut. Yeah. So then, yeah, he grows out this luscious, what was it, prison mane?
I think we have to, like, obviously, if you've seen it, you know it, but, like, part of the look is, it's not just long, but it's like long and balding.
Of course, he's Nicolas Cage.
He's gotta be balding. It's like a Ben Franklin kind of vibe.
It's but again, as we see him like working the fuck out, you're like, hey, look, it looks good.
It reminds me of when sorry to bring his name up, but it reminds me of when Andrew Tate was arrested, who is, we all know, is bald. He like said something about like, don't worry guys, like I've been training in prison, and like as I look at myself in the mirror with a long head of hair, I realize I am still the same man, and like, because he couldn't cut his hair, so it was growing out. But yeah, just the idea of like, yeah. you should probably take care of that. Like, this isn't a
no. You can get
like, did anyone talk to Nicolas Cage in the prison? Like, hey. Maybe the long hair is, like, not...
Well, as he says at the very end, when, spoilers, he meets... he's reunited with his wife and daughter. He's like, I'm meant to get a haircut.
Yeah, the wife is probably like, Jesus, Nick. Like,
oh, wow, it was a lot shorter the last time I saw you.
Well, it's almost like, it's like, I had to have a different hair because I was in another big action movie this year called Face Off, and I got short hair in that.
We had to differentiate the roles.
But I like that he has the long hair. It makes this movie memorable. He doesn't have that kind of hair in a lot of other movies.
No, because why would he? That's an insane look.
Yeah, and I like it. But I love his character in this movie because he's such a comically, quote unquote, good guy.
He's
like there's a prison, like in the montage. There's a moment where like there's a prison riot going on outside, and you just see him like on his top bunk reading, and he just like he kind of puts his hand over his ear, like, I'm not listening. I'm being a good boy.
No, him giving his coconut
snowballs.
Thing to snowballs to Bubba. That's save the cat moment.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got your package. Those pink coconut things have made me quite popular. Met a guy just the other day, Baby-O. He sure does love them.
Those things have made me pretty popular around
made
here.
Made me pretty popular.
Yeah, because he just killed a guy. You haven't really seen him do anything else, but it's like, he's gonna give his treats to his buddy over here.
Give his treats away.
He's a good guy.
I got pictures of my daughter up on the wall.
I have a diabetic friend. I have a nicely decorated cell. I read books and learn things and take care of myself. And I'm going to see to the end of my prison, like a good, my sentence, like a good little boy. And then I don't want my daughter to meet me behind bars. That's no place for a girl to meet her father. And it's, I love, too, the diabetic friend where he's like, I can't leave you behind. Not without your insulin.
Well, this gets back into his Army Ranger training that the movie told us. Like, we never leave a fallen soldier behind.
See, it's a beautiful script.
It's top to
bottom. Like a Swiss clock.
So he's got paroled. It's been like 7-8 years. He's been paroled. He's going to see his daughter, but he's got to get transferred. Mm-hmm. And the flight he's got, unfortunately, is on the Jailbird, which will later be retitled Con
Air. The flight he's got is on the titular Con Air, which is the most insane, stupid thing.
We gotta fly all of the worst bad guys to super baddie prison at once.
I was thinking about this because you'd think, like, okay, it's called Jailbird. Like, clearly, well, it's like, how often do prisoner transfers happen to different facilities?
Ryan,
it's
would
like,
you mind explaining what this is?
Wait, what?
Would you mind
what is the purpose of Jailbird?
Yeah, what is this plane flight? In the movie?
I don't know. That whole thing is just like getting like the damn Suicide Squad in on this thing is not
a
good idea.
Suicide Squad, some kind of Suicide
I know, like,
Squad.
I don't know. Like, I was thinking
really
that
funny
too.
That
like,
there's
this
like
is
a line
bleep.
They say that almost feels monologue. Like they're trying to justify it to the audience.
Exactly, they
where
are.
They say like hundreds of thousands are of. Flights are done with prison transfers every year. It's totally normal that we're doing this.
But it's like every
but this
the worst
holds
guys
like
in the
maybe
country.
What 40 people?
Yeah, I know. I was like wondering, like, how many of those flights are just one prisoner?
Yeah, like
I,
one
I
or
like,
two people.
I don't know anything about this, but I bet it's like a really big deal if they're transporting like more than one.
And I think you would, you'd probably just put them on commercial and just like lock them down.
Yes.
Right?
or a bus
or just
the idea is
plane.
They want to transfer in one fell swoop basically all the worst criminals in America
because I think they built like a new super prison or something.
Yeah, they built
that's it.
They
well,
built
it's just
the
like,
super
okay,
prison,
I can understand the cartoon logic of like these are the worst of the worst. We got to get them on the most secure plane. Blah, blah, blah. But
it's
then,
cartoon
if that's
one.
The case, why is this nobody, as John Cusack describes him, Poe Dameron or Cameron
Poe?
Why is he on this?
He's
plane?
On the way. He's on the way, you know?
Yeah, you know? It's efficient. So sue
but
us.
He's
we wanted to
in
save
the same
a couple
class
bucks.
As these killers.
I know. You got like. You
and
got
then the diabetic guy.
Ed
and the diabetic guy. What?
It's like Ed Gein, the bad guy from Psycho, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, and then a guy who was like had a really bad attorney and could have pled out
failed
somewhere.
By the system.
He probably should have even got past the grand jury, basically.
Maybe
you know?
What we don't see, maybe what we don't see is one of the things he's doing besides learning languages and growing out his hair is he's working with the Alabama State Bar to like sue his former attorney.
He should.
Get him disbarred.
You know what? Yeah. He should.
That's I mean the plot is pretty simple. Like so he's getting
yeah,
a flight.
Really
it takes a lot of jumps, but it gets simple, yeah.
and basically John Malkovich has this plan to like overtake the plane with
all the cons and then
with
go to
the other
Mexico.
Cons like Dave Chappelle and I'm forgetting his name. Ving Rhames is
yeah.
there.
John Malkovich is like I was trying to think of like what kind of villain is he? And that's why I was thinking like Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons.
It's
like,
very Sideshow
really
Bob.
Apt. Yeah.
He's that the smart criminal.
Yeah,
like,
he's the brains. They specifically say during like the roll call of his rap sheet that he's like incited multiple prison riots before, and it's like, why are you flying again? I know it's a cartoon, but it's like, why are you flying this guy with any other prisoners?
Yeah, if nothing else, why not at least transport
at least
him alone?
That guy, come on!
Yeah,
this one's done it all: kidnapping, robbery, murder, extortion.
Foxtrot Charlie, perimeter is secure. You are cleared to release.
His name is Cyrus Grissom, a.k.a. Cyrus the Virus. 39 years old, 25 of them spent in our institutions. But he's bettered himself inside, earned 2 degrees, including his Juris Doctor. He also killed 11 fellow inmates, incited 3 riots, and escaped twice.
likes to brag that he killed more men than cancer.
Okay, open wide. Lift your tongue.
Cyrus is a poster child for the criminally insane. He's a true product of the system.
Why isn't he in the Hannibal Lecter, like, cage?
We only have the one plane. We have to get them all here.
Basically, he takes control of the plane, and the rest of the movie, Cameron Poe, with sort of a Die Hardy thing, he's kind of sort of in contact with John Cusack, who is a U.S. Marshal. Like, he's trying to retake the plane.
Love one of my favorite things about this movie. It sounds flippant, but I'm serious. How fast everything goes to shit on the plane. Like, it takes off, and like, you get like, from the minute that there's an inkling John Malkovich is about to do something to just full on explosion.
Like 90 seconds.
There's not a lot of buildup. Then you get a roll call where it's like, here, you know, all the prisoners are getting on the plane. Like, here are these bad dudes. He did this, that, and the other thing. And it's like you said, Jackie, it's like a wrestler intro.
Yeah. Cyrus the Virus. It is 100%. Diamond Dog.
It's just, they didn't do that in Suicide Squad, too. Didn't they do that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
They're literally like, here's all the files on this Suicide Squad we're putting together. It's great. Honestly,
so
I can't
fault. Worst of the worst. And I had the same thought, Mike. Like, this movie wastes no time. Once they're on the plane, they almost immediately take it over. Dave Chappelle pulls this thing out of his throat, and it's like gasoline and a match, and he lights this guy next to him on fire as a distraction.
I could see myself watching this movie. Like, this would be a moment where I get up to go pee, and everything's normal, and I come back, and Con Air has happened.
You're like, what happened? How did they do Con Air? And you're like, it just happened, okay?
How did they do Con Air? It's a crazy thing because he basically at some point put a tiny little vial of gasoline and a match in his throat. He pulls it out like on a string and he lights the guy next to him on fire, which allows him to like open up the cages, release the other cons, and they can take over
this
the plane.
This is also while, I guess, separately or you know, in contact, all this, the planning, John Malkovich and Ving Rhames both had like buried like a needle in their palm or something, like under their
skin. They put like fake skin. Fake skin on top of their palm or something.
To then pick their handcuffs, which they can both do, and then like get out of there. They were both in like special cages. Everyone else is just kind of in like seats. So they're doing that. Dave Chappelle is lighting a man on fire. They're taking down the guards, one of whom we've established is already in the film is like a real piece of shit. He loves beating the prisoners. He took away the picture of Nicolas Cage's daughter. And then there's a female guard who is constantly being threatened with sexual violence.
Rachel, I forget how you pronounce her name. Rachel Ticken, and she was in Total Recall.
Maybe the worst part of the movie is like her character exists as a threat to be assaulted.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's basically it.
She doesn't really get like a. She kind of has a kind of tiny moment where she's able to like kick Danny Trejo later. She doesn't. I feel like she doesn't get a real satisfying moment.
No, she's very much used as an object, and you know, it's. I get it. Pretty quickly, Nicolas Cage is like, well, I guess I'll have to play along to get out of this mess.
One of my favorite lines in this movie, well, Cyrus, this is your barbecue and it tastes good. But he keeps trying to like, you know, he's basically throughout the movie, he's like, I got to play along. I got to pretend to be like a 15 to life guy. Mm-hmm. But he keeps doing these things like, well, maybe don't kill those guys. We can use them as hostages. Yeah. Or maybe don't be evil.
Maybe we could slow the roll on that.
Hold on, guys. What if we were nice?
I don't know, man. What if that happened? Because one of his, because his.
Hear me out. What if we flew back to the jail?
His friend with diabetes in the initial Con Air happening, the insulin or something, the needle was like smashed. And
do we ever find out what this guy was in for? Like the friend?
Probably a nonviolent drug offense if I know America.
I can't believe though that they casted Bubba when he's doing Forrest Gump. Like that was, I'm like
a few years before this.
After Forrest Gump.
This is only a few years.
Yeah, I know,
after
but I'm just saying like they're like, we need a Bubba type. Let's get Bubba.
Can we get Bubba?
It's like Nick Cage is doing, he's doing Tom Hanks. Like he's doing the voice, basically. And he's from Montpelier, Alabama. And I'm just saying, like, and so part of me, that drove me a little nuts. I'm saying, of like the, how this movie's pieced together with all mm-hmm. these things, like Hannibal Lecter and Forrest Gump and all the Michael Bay stuff. And
then, yep.
It's very much like cartoon characters, you know, cutouts. It almost kind of reminds me of like a fighting game from the 90s, like a Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's funny, yeah. Mm. I want to say, not something like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, but more of like one of those like shitty ripoffs, I think.
Killer Instinct or something.
Yeah, like something like that, yeah. Mm.
You mentioned Hannibal Lecter. What's funny about the Steve Buscemi character is that he's not on the initial flight.
Yeah,
they stop in Carson City to drop people off, bring people on, and he's brought on then. And essentially, it's funny too because he doesn't technically do anything in the movie.
He's just sort
of an archetype that's there.
Christ in a cartoon.
Shit, that's Garland Green, man.
A Marietta Mangler.
That skinny little man butchers 30-something people up and down the eastern seaboard. They say the way he killed those people makes the Manson family look like the Partridge family.
Well, he's on the right flight.
He has a weird vibe scene where he doesn't harm a child, we suppose. But he is comic relief. And also, I don't know if this is just revealing of my personality, but when they take the Hannibal Lecter mask off him and it's just like, oh shit, I forgot Buscemi's in this. That was my first thought. And my second was like, Steve Buscemi's looking good.
I had the thought, watching this movie, I wonder if this is what they were going for. It almost felt like that episode of The Simpsons where like the two mob factions are attacking each other and Homer looks. He's like, but Marge, I want to see what that little guy's going to do. You know he's going to do something. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's the same thing here. Like, we know that's Hannibal Lecter. Steve Buscemi's Hannibal Lecter. He's going to do something cool, but he never really does. He's just comic relief.
He's just you kind of like, one time I wore a woman's head as a hat.
Through and you're three like, states. Okay. Yeah, you're like, okay, so when's the moment when he's going to chop off John Malkovich's face or something and wear it?
That would have been cool.
Does he never do anything like violent in the plane?
He just sits
there and has one-liners.
Yeah. Huh. He's already done a lot of violence in his life. He's like, I'm actually chilling.
Yeah, I mean, I know he has that big scene with the girl, but I guess they just had tea.
This is 1 year after Fargo. Like this, arguably, this is like his peak. He has Big Lebowski after this, a year after this. This is his peak time.
My man.
And can I just say, I wanted to point something out here. So I feel like Steve Buscemi falls into that line of things where, I'm sorry, just, you know, reality is different now. I know you pronounce your name Steve Buscemi, but it is widely accepted that your name is actually pronounced Buscemi. There's nothing you could do about it.
You have to live with that.
The guy who says that no, it's actually pronounced Jif. I'm sorry, dude, it's Gif. It doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah.
I just had that thought. I'm like, just like Martin Scorsese is, no, it's your Scorsese, dude.
David,
I'm sorry. That's how we all pronounce your name.
Good old David Bowie.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, man. We all decided it's different.
Which is not even his real name.
Sorry, dude. You got, yeah.
But...
sorry, I know it's your name, but we all decided it's actually this way. But yeah, he's you love to see him show up.
But while we're on the topic of Buscemi, you mentioned the little girl. This is kind of his big scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Like the plane lands later
in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
In a post-apocalyptic,
it's an airfield in Southwest America. Post-apocalyptic wasteland is just the American Southwest.
But okay, specifically, this little girl is sitting in like a dirty empty pool like covered in dirt.
Oh, it's so funny. She is sitting in like a Nine Inch Nails music video.
Okay.
So.
Yes. And I literally noticed this. There was like a broken down like cabinet or dresser with like one of the shelves or drawers open with like toys sticking out of it. And this
it's
made me
grim.
Think, I'm like, is any of this real? Is this all in his head?
So, Buscemi's character wandered off and then just like hallucinated for a bit.
Hallucinated.
Because it feels surreal.
Yeah, it feels like it's like his internal thinking or something.
Well, sure. And also there's a shot where like you see his, what's presumably his point of view, and it's like wobbly, like the camera's going from side to side.
That's what I'm saying. She's doing this in like this fake town, whatever the hell this is, you know?
Are you sick? Why do you ask?
You look sick.
I am sick.
You take medicine?
There is no medicine for what I have.
Wanna sing?
Sing?
Do you know he's got the whole world in his hands?
Yes, I do.
He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole wide world. Come on. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole wide world. In his hands, he's got the whole world.
She looks, you know what this is? This looks like a scene from A Nightmare on Elm Street. She's just missing the jump rope and singing the song. Mm-hmm. That's all that's missing.
She's like, you don't want to do murder anymore, right? And he's like, you know what? I don't think, I think you're right. Yeah, I'll just
it's
be,
it's so strange because
chill.
later when they leave again, when they take off, you see her like fly, because there's a question like, oh, did he kill her? No, she runs out, bye.
Yeah. So I guess it was fine.
I don't know.
I guess
it's strange. I never really understood what was going on here.
It's
like,
interesting. And then again, spoilers at the end. His character just fucked off and in Las Vegas and just rolled up to like a craps table or something.
It's which a, maybe it's a very weird stinger.
Is the suggestion maybe that he never actually killed anyone?
No.
No, I think he's just starting a new life.
He definitely did. I think it's just like...
Yeah, like rehabilitation or something? I don't know.
I think it's just that like he's out there leaving. And like... I think
yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah, what's it trying to say though? Like, was it trying
I don't
to
think
say
it's trying to say anything.
Yeah, I don't... you know.
No, I don't think it's trying to say
anything.
Well, because
it's such a strange thing. Like, I remember when I saw this in theaters at the audience, like, when that happened, everyone cheered. Like, he's playing craps. He's got the drink with the umbrella in it, as they were saying earlier in the movie. And for some reason, everyone was like, yay!
Yeah!
And it's like, this guy is Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Well, to that point, though, at the end of Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter puts on his, like... cabana hat and just walks into
the difference. I feel like the difference is like we know in that moment that he's gonna kill a piece of shit in whatever that guy's name was,
shitty guy.
Yeah,
but Buscemi's like, just trying to hang out.
He's just hanging out playing craps. But I remember at the time the audience was like, "Yeah, we love this guy."
I guess the '90s
were a different time.
He won the audience over.
I mean, I think maybe it's just like, maybe all it is like at the end of the day, it's Steve Buscemi, you know?
And we're
maybe
like,
that's
yeah!
what it was. Yeah. Like it's that guy from Fargo and Reservoir Dogs.
Oh,
I love that guy.
Love
maybe
him.
It would have played differently if it was like Danny Trejo's character doing this.
Yes, that would have been a very different ending.
Well, and also, as I said, this is Buscemi's time. Armageddon is a year after this, and he's a big part of that movie.
Oh, that's right.
We just love seeing him show up, and, you know, he's got a funny face and a funny voice. I love him.
It almost makes me wonder if, like, they were originally intending to do something different with his character, but then, like, the fact that he was
too
Buscemi,
beloved.
Everyone was like, nah, he's too lovable. We can't.
That guy. I don't care how many people he kills and wears his hats. He also, just talking about Buscemi now, wasn't he like a firefighter who massively helped with 9/11 cleanup?
Well, he was a firefighter prior to that time, and then obviously became an actor. But I guess, I don't remember the circumstances. He was in New York. He's like, well, I'm going to go to my old ladder or whatever.
I think he did like sort of return and do some work there.
Yeah, he kind of redid it a little bit.
In kind of the Con Air theme, he's like, well, I am an honorable man and I have to, live by that. So let me go help out.
Yeah. So we, you know what? Wear people's heads as hats.
He's
Buscemi.
Earned it.
Like, we love you anyway.
Well, Buscemi love corner.
But let's talk about, so the main villain of this movie is John Malkovich, Sideshow Bob, Cyrus the Virus. Okay, so in the previous episode, Mike, you thought Gary Oldman, you didn't really care too much for his performance.
You didn't like it?
No. I thought it was pretty one note. And
how's Malkovich going for you in this movie?
It's great. I don't know. Like not to compare this with Air Force One too much, but like,
go ahead. It's April.
Yeah.
I think Gary Oldman is playing a character who would be in Con Air. It's very one note, stereotypical cartoon character, but I think he's not. in that movie, it doesn't feel like that exaggerated, you know? And if you're going to do a one note cartoon character,
Be a cartoon
about it. And I think John Malkovich is being a cartoon about it.
I think he is literally playing Sideshow Bob, but like a little eviler.
He has a lot of crazy lines, like the last thing your daughter will see, or what does he say? Like the last thing your daughter will smell will be my stinking breath, yes, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just like and crazy
to me,
lines.
I don't know how much of this is like the acting ability of Gary Oldman versus John Cusack. I think a lot of it is just the
John
direction.
Malkovich.
I keep saying John Cusack. Jesus, John Malkovich.
Malkovich.
which Cusack was also in.
God damn it!
I get it. The worlds are combined.
They're intertwined.
Too many Johns. But yeah, I would attribute that to the like the script and the directing of it, not the acting ability of.
Well, and I think also, as we've said, like the bad guys in this are like a full ensemble cast of baddies, even though Malkovich is playing like kind of the head of it. So you get a lot of good company to be like, what should we do, Ving Rhames?
You know what's funny is also, I keep saying John Cusack. John Cusack is actually one of the actors I think is one of the weak links in this movie. I think he's kind of like a little bit lost in the.
He's here to be John Cusack.
Yeah,
well, he's supposed to be kind of the wiener character.
He maybe is supposed to be a bit of the like audience surrogate, like a you know, in the way he's like in awe of Nicolas Cage's character and stuff.
yeah. But he's not also, really. Yeah,
it doesn't. It's the one character that like obviously. Don't get me wrong. None of these characters, maybe Nicolas Cage aside, are like. Good, well-developed characters. They're all just like ridiculous cartoon cutouts, but I kind of know what they are in the that's why I compare it to like a fighting game or something. Like I get the archetype, but John Cusack is one that doesn't quite.
It's not really his thing. I think he would be more like on the plane. Like
because he is like sort of by the books, but then ultimately like not.
I mean, what is his character supposed to be? Sort of like he's like the guy. On the inside, he's one of the officers who's sort of like.
Well, he's the U.S. Marshal, and he keeps saying that's his plane.
And he's the one who's kind of like figuring it out, and sort of like the guy on the inside, or not the guy on the inside, but the guy who's like helping Nicolas Cage.
Well, he's sort of like the
the guy on the ground.
The guy on the ground who's a ranger like Cage's character, who is trying to do the right thing. Even against like the Cole Meany character who's like, no, we can't do it like that, and blah, you know.
Because he has the whole like, look at his file. He was defending his wife.
To then like stealing.
He just had a shit attorney.
He did it. He was failed by the system. No, but then like stealing the douchebag guy's car to then you know meet up with try to do this and so he gets his little mini arc of from like wiener to like heroic guy sort of.
I get the sense that they're trying to turn he's kind of like a Jack Ryan character, like he's basically more or less like an analyst type character, like I'm a U.S. Marshal, but I kind of more of like, you know, the upper
I know
management.
Big words.
yeah exactly, like he's not on the ground, he's not getting into combat situations,
you know what I would say
he's getting dirty though.
If I were just to like dream cast, I would like to see David Duchovny in the 90s play this role.
I'd be into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's something. I think you're right. This was probably one of the last things they casted. Like, who's someone we can get big people know, like people love, like people can already like, you know?
Yeah,
and people
he's
like.
He's got to be kind of a wiener, but he's got to rise to the occasion.
Yeah, because he's probably got a cheaper rate than he used to.
Yeah.
Well, no, because this is him prime.
Yeah, 90s Cusack.
This is prime.
Yeah.
I would have thought. I thought John Cusack prime was like the early 90s, late 80s.
This is like Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, this is like before Cusack. High Fidelity. Like this is like he hasn't
this
even
is
hit
before
his
High
peak
Fidelity.
Yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like he hasn't even hit his peak yet. Like he's like hitting. Like this is like he's.
This is like Anastasia, you know,
which came out this year too.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is prime. This is like, I think just like audience, we need a guy.
I always think of him as prime as his younger time when he was like
the
in the 80s, but maybe that's, I'm mistaken.
I think he was hanging out for the whole 90s.
I mean, adaptations, you know, I guess it's
that was big.
We love, okay, probably the biggest, last big movie he probably did was probably Must Love Dogs, 2005, probably.
No, I mean, I think sales-wise, wouldn't it have been 2012?
Oh, like, yeah. That was like his last hurrah in big movies. Yeah. Kinda.
Oh, Hot Tub Time Machine was there.
Oh, wow.
That was a big movie. Yeah, that was a big movie.
But no, I think he's fallen off now, but I'm saying like he's probably the most he might be the most highest paid actor on this movie, probably.
No way. You think, that's crazy.
You don't think so? More?
But, absolutely not.
How is he? How was he built? Did he get? Did he get?
He's
built
after Nick. You know,
oh,
I think.
Oh, shit.
Nick, yeah, on the poster, it's Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich.
I think he probably was quite well compensated.
His face is on the poster. He's
I'm
one
saying
of the three
he's
faces.
Probably, I mean, Nick Cage probably, but I don't know. Nick Cage.
Can we talk about how there's not really anything to say, but just the poster is just incredible.
Yeah, flames.
This
and
is post Oscar for Nick Cage, too.
Is it the Ving Rhames character who's doing the cross with two guns?
Who can say?
There's an explosion. And through the explosion, the plane
Which
is flying
ripping
through.
Off the rock, that freaking thing.
Yeah,
isn't
we're
the rock
ripping everything off. We're having a good time. We're chewing scenery.
Isn't the rock poster the same thing, too?
It's similar.
Swimming in a river of ham.
I guess that's not on the poster of the rock,
it's similar colors, but I wouldn't say it's like... And you get three faces, but other than that...
But I'm saying like that image of the flares is from the rock.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying like they're just taking more shit from...
You know, hey, this is a Jerry Bruckheimer movie. It may not be Michael Bay, but it's the same family.
So yeah, we're gonna have a little buffet of of other
no
movies.
No one would accuse this movie of being having an original thought.
Dude, when the Jerry Bruckheimer logo at the beginning came up, I was like, I know I'm in for some fun, stupid action.
Right.
Yes, I was doing that. I was grabbing my hands together like, ooh, okay.
Don't mind if I do.
To speak to the action
Jerry
in this
Bruckheimer
movie,
is responsible for Flashdance. I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That old perv. Wow.
That was like the beginning of his rise. But anyway, like, let's talk about the action in this movie a bit. Like, it is, like, so over the top. It, as you mentioned, very John Woo. There's a lot of people flying through the air with explosions behind them. There are multiple scenes of Nicolas Cage, like, getting propelled through the air by explosions.
And John Cusack at one point when Cyrus's cell blows up.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, explosions where the Nicolas Cage, like, quote-unquote survives that, you know, that... Would not
probably
happen.
Wouldn't occur
yeah.
like that.
There's a lot of slow motion running away from explosions, and like one of my favorite shots from this movie or sequences. It's so preposterous, but there's a moment at the end when, and that's another thing. Like, just when you think this movie can't raise the crazy stakes up enough, somehow they end up in Las Vegas at the end.
Yeah, we're crashing into Las Vegas Strip.
They crash into the Vegas Strip. That's kind of where the very end of the movie.
But then that's not enough. That could have been the end of the movie. Now it's just like, all right. Nick Cage and John Cusack wearing sandals and socks are going to jump on these cop motorcycles and chase John Malkovich, who's riding on a fire truck down Fremont Street.
Yeah, obviously.
And it was so funny. There's literally a shot, and this was probably a thing at the time, but like, you remember how Fremont Street has like the LED screen or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's a shot where jets fly over above, like they're going down.
That's cute.
I want to like stay on like Fremont Street sometime. That's like probably the real shit. You know what I mean? Like, instead of
that's old school Vegas.
Mm-hmm. That's the OG.
The real
before
the
they
real
put the
dirty
thing,
stuff.
That's where James Bond had his car chase down Fremont Street before they like put a bunch of shit up over on top of it.
A bunch of shit on top of it. It's been a while since I've been to Vegas. We should. Is Vegas still around in the wasteland? Do you think out there?
I mean, it's
Bartertown
mutated.
I haven't made the drive. Yeah, I think Bartertown's kind of stolen its thunder a little bit.
Okay.
Anyway. But yeah, the action in this movie is crazy. Like, they crash into the Hard Rock Cafe, guitar.
Yeah.
A lot of crash sequences and just like again, like
a lot of sparks.
A lot of sparks, and like I like that this has this cartoon logic. Like, when John Malkovich gets flung from the ladder on top of the fire truck, he somehow lands, like, again, he lands in a different dimension. This happens a few times in this movie. He gets flung from Vegas, and now he's in like some like construction site where he gets like deposited onto this thing, and it like smashes his head with like this, what is it?
Oh yeah, this device can't have a purpose other than...
What do you mean? It's a normal... what are those?
It's like a rock smasher or something?
Yeah. It's a workplace accident device.
Yeah.
Yes.
It only exists for you to accidentally get something stuck in and horrifically mangled.
Yeah, I don't understand the practical use of this machine. It's just like a thing that goes up, it's a super weight, and then it comes down and squashes things, but it's like, I guess, are you putting rocks in there? It seems like it would take a long time to put a rock in there.
Dave, I would love to know how else you smash the rocks.
Yeah. And you need those in Las Vegas.
The rocks must be smashed. It's the Vegas economy.
Malkovich is literally on a what is it, like a treadmill that's like dropping rocks, I guess. It's so strange.
I guess you've never been to Vegas.
Yeah.
Just, that stuff's everywhere.
Yeah, that's right off the strip, the rock smashing machine.
And I know what you're thinking, folks. Like, they haven't really talked about too many plot points. There's not a lot.
Oh, we have. They're
on the plane. Tage is trying to get them to land. And meanwhile, like, it's really just a collection of fun sequences. Like, there's a moment. What I remember, one of the big crowd pops in this movie was when they're going downstairs. Like, hey, the landing gear is stuck. What's going on? Like, we're flying slower than we should be. And it's because Dave Chappelle got trapped in the landing gear and is holding him back. So they have to push it out. But before... I keep wanting to say Poe Dameron, but Cameron Poe writes on his shirt like to Marshall Larkin or whatever, like, we're landing at this airport.
Yeah, to John Cusack.
Hey, John Cusack, please call me. Here are the clues.
And it's a great scene. It's really fun. Like, when you just see Chappelle's body flying through the air and just crashes on this guy's car. In typical 90s fashion, we get a joke where it's like, oh, would you look at that? I just got out of the car wash and bird shit.
Oh.
That feels like it's from another movie, too. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, I feel like a lot of these are like 90s hallmarks you see all the time in these action movies.
Yeah,
Do we know why Dave Chappelle's character is called Pinball?
No idea. I don't know. He's a little guy.
It just seemed like a fun name,
pinhead,
probably.
You know, kind of guy.
Maybe
bouncing
all
over the place or something.
But like, I feel like this was like a trademark, I feel, of 90s action movies, like, or just like, you know, the comedy cutaways. You know what I mean? I kind of miss those. I mean, we still get them, but it's just like, it seems like they were so, yeah, they were so prevalent in the 90s and so well done, like, in these moments. Like if this is all a joke. This whole thing, imagine, like, having to get these aerial shots, like, putting Chappelle, like, on green screen and all this all this work for this joke. You know what I mean? I miss stuff like that.
Did you guys see, like, where... So we talked about this ending in the Vegas Strip. Did you guys see what the original ending was going to be?
No.
They were supposed to crash at the White House.
Oh my God. Yeah. I thought you meant they were supposed to crash the world.
That would have aged really well. That would have aged great.
Well, it's funny thinking about it because, like... Why would they be flying over there?
Yeah.
The idea they're trying? The Southwest makes sense because, like, I get, like, they're trying to maybe go across the border to Mexico or something.
Yeah, I think is the plan.
But, like, why would they be around Washington,
anyway,
D.C.?
We took...
That seems like strange. The last place you'd want to fly this plane.
Because they blew it up in Independence Day. Someone saw that and were like, that's cool. Cool.
Yeah, we could put that in our movie too.
I thought Independence Day was 98. Was it before this?
No, it was 96. It was a year before.
Wow. Yeah, they were like, we could get a White House set and blow it up and crash.
But you know what? Honestly, I appreciate that it's Vegas. And strangely, it kind of fits because because Vegas is the
sin.
City of sin.
City
exactly.
Of sin.
So, like, maybe it does kind of work a little bit thematically. I don't know.
Jerry Bruckheimer described it as a visual pun of the convict's, quote, cashing in.
Oh, okay, Jerry.
It's deep, guys. Think about it. There's a lot going on in this movie.
Pretty good,
you know?
Jerry.
And as I mentioned, like, hallmarks of action movies of the 90s, like, this whole it has like a fourth act action sequence where it's like they could have just ended it with the plane crashing and crashing into the Hard Rock Cafe sign. That's a great climax, awesome. But no, we're gonna get that. It's like, we landed on the strip. We got to go to the old strip, the Fremont Street. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they have to do one last. It's like a horror movie. They have the one last scare. This is, we have to have the one last crazy action sequence before we end this thing.
And meanwhile, whole time I'm like, if we don't get to that family reunion and the bunny and How Do I Live? Come on, man.
Okay, this leads into a question I had for you guys. Yes. So we've kind of talked about this a bit throughout the episode, but this bunny, you know, the famous put the bunny back in the box.
That shitty bunny.
That shitty bunny that goes on a journey through this movie, and I'm assuming it's a bunny. I guess he got it like at the prison.
Right? Yeah, like a prison convention.
He's got a line because I think his friend is like, the bunny is so busted, you can't give that to your kid. And Nicolas Cage is like, it was this or a pack of cigarettes or something like that.
Yeah, toothpaste. But like this bunny eventually comes out of the packaging. Yes. It is handled a lot. At one point, it's the really last dirty. Time we see it, it is in a storm gutter. It goes into the drain right before, not before Cage can grab it. He puts his whole arm in that drain and pulls it out.
You shouldn't give this thing, to your child. It's too gross.
This thing is disgusting. The kid looks at it and at him like he's like,
she's terrified.
God. She's terrified, and rightly so. He's covered in blood. He's got this crazy hairstyle.
I think the bunny is covered in a little blood.
He said, I got you a present, Casey. It's a little dirty. Bunny.
He's like wiping off like brain matter from
Lego. Seriously.
The mom goes, you take your daddy's present, Casey.
She's like, you know, it's 97. I'm sure she's just like, I wanted a Game Boy with Pokemon.
I actually really like Pokemon, so...
It's a gross stuffed bunny.
That's not Pikachu.
But it's interesting, and I think it's interesting that they keep this take in the movie, but the kid never gives him a look like, I love you, Daddy. She never smiles. The kid is like, always a frown.
The kid 100% has the vibe of just like,
who is that?
Mommy, you said we were going to get ice cream, though? Can we?
No, she looks scared.
Doesn't want to be. Oh, yeah, she doesn't want to be there, but in my head canon, I'm just thinking of the kid as like so disinterested and just like wanting to do like, can we just like it? You said McDonald's, we get it on the way home. Can we get the happy meal?
This the look this kid, rewind the tape. The look this kid gives is like, oh my God, this is my new reality now. This guy is around. This is scary. And it got me thinking.
Well, look, she's had a scary day.
It got me thinking. This is all brought about. I mean, obviously his general appearance, but the fact that he gives her this disgusting thing.
This dirty, scary man hands you a dirty, scary bunny.
What this got me thinking, can you guys remember the worst gift you were ever given and having to pretend to like, you know, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's hear it, right.
I've told the story. No, I
think
worst.
I know what it is. Yeah.
The only one that came to mind was when my mom got me the full screen version of Attack of the Clones on DVD.
What was the problem with that, Ryan?
Full screen. Come on, widescreen. Why? We have wide TV here. You know.
I know. I'm asking for the audience. I think I still have it.
Oh, really? It's got sentimental value.
You can't break your mother's heart and give it away.
Did you say like full screen?
I think really? I did. Probably. I was like, oh, come on. You know.
Little shit.
What doesn't have the black bars, honey?
Yeah. I don't think she knew. She just grabbed it. You know, like Christmas present.
Star Wars.
Well, Mike, Jackie, what about you guys?
I mean, nothing ever like.
Yeah, nothing's really come to mind.
Terrible.
Nothing covered in brain matter.
It would be, like some clothing item or something from my mom that I just was like, this isn't really my thing. But
I have an answer.
You know, like, I'm not trying to break my mother's heart. I'll be like, thanks, and then never wear it. And it's just like,
My answer is. It's not really like a bad present, but when the Dreamcast came out, my parents got me a Dreamcast, and I think, I don't remember if it's like they didn't know or it just wasn't available, but there was a period of time where I didn't have any memory card and you needed a memory card to save. So I remember for like the first few days or whatever of having the Dreamcast of just like, I can't turn this off. I can never, I have to.
And then it burned out and died on me.
It didn't. But yeah, that's all I can really think of. I was never given like a horrific bunny or a full screen DVD.
It wasn't a full screen DVD, but I remember vaguely like this was such a nice gesture, but like a part of me was like, like I remember a roommate I had bought me, I think it was Kick-Ass.
Was
on
this
DVD.
Ryan? Was the roommate Ryan?
No. But it was funny too, because I remember waking up, it was such a sweet gesture. Like I woke up early in the morning for work. I was going to the bathroom and she came in, she's like, hey, happy birthday. I got you a present. I was like, oh, what is this? And it was Kick-Ass. I'm like, oh, this is great. Oh, it's on DVD.
You guys are such assholes.
I would rather have the Blu-ray of this. It's 2010, whatever year it was. Anyway. But no, like, I was just like, oh, this is really sweet. It's but
a,
I was like,
a lovely kindness. But then you're just like, yeah. Oh, I drew, I
did you?
The
do
different.
You have the? What did you do with that DVD?
I threw it in the trash. Obviously,
I might have exchanged it for like credit and got the Blu-ray.
That's not bad, you know. I don't know. Still the same.
Well, if I recall, I think she kind of had a thing like, I'm sorry, it's not the Blu-ray. They only had the DVD where I went to the store to get it. It was like 12 a.m. So like, it's like, this is an incredible gesture. It's not like, you know. It's like, take it back.
He said, actually, I wouldn't even wipe my ass with this.
I wouldn't even use that disc as a coaster. Get it out of here.
Ugh.
Nick Cage, he's back, you know?
Speaking of
another Nick Cage movie. This is all connected.
He
connects us all.
I'm currently using Jason Goes to Hell on DVD as a coaster as we record this.
Rest in peace, Jason.
That's the only way to keep him in hell.
Yes.
You got to keep a drink on top of him.
Yeah.
But any other closing thoughts on Con Air?
I had fun.
This is a fun time at the movies.
I had a fun time at the movies.
Definitely.
And I feel
it's such a fun time that they do a second roll call.
This is one that I'm like, they don't make them like this anymore. You know, they don't throw a bunch of money at something this dumb with this many stars. I mean, I guess we don't have stars anymore.
That's true too.
But
not only do we not have stars, we don't have character actors. So everyone's too beautiful yet nothing.
Yeah, that's another thing is like everyone in this movie looks weird. Like no one.
It's great.
No one in this movie is. Maybe John Cusack is pretty.
It's sort of almost like in a way. Like freaking Malkovich is like the best looking guy.
right. And if you're saying John Malkovich
is the looker,
then I think that says it all, right? Like,
isn't that wild? No, I do have a last thought though before this. Yeah. I would say since we're talking about our thought, I was still a little bit like not having maybe my residual feelings from the original time of this movie a little bit. And there's fun stuff. But, and you're right, I was having that thought too. It's just like, oh, I don't make him like this. And it's really made me even rethink like Michael Bay a lot, like in the last few years, where I'm just like, God, we were so harsh on that shit. And it's so amazing. Like,
I think it'd be easier to reclaim Michael Bay. I think the Transformers of it all is, I think, a real problem.
It's true. But the thing is like, I'm thinking of like watching that. And this movie has so many like his sort of moves and stuff, and a lot of his just the looks of things. And then I'm thinking about like, but then every once in a while, there's like this boring shot of like two guys in the back of a helicopter, and Bay would have not had that shot in the movie. So I was just saying like and you think about it now when you watch it, like there's not one, even though that it's ridiculous, every shot he's with that camera and it looks crazy in the movie. So when you look back at him now, and before we were like, oh my God, this is an assault. But now it's like compared to TV today or movies today, so much life to it. And you're like, this guy he is, and he's in the Criterion Collection for a reason, you know? Anyway, so I had that thought, and that was making me a little bit just not mad at Con Air, but just in the facts of like it's where things have gone a little bit. But there's stuff to like about this movie, and I've seen the end a million times. It's that first chunk. I don't think the stuff before. I think it works when after he's in jail, all that first preamble should have been like flashback stuff. I think it sucks. And, you know, I think it's like, it feels clunky
well,
and
it
crappy.
It reminded me a lot of Dalton's backstory from Roadhouse, where he's like, you killed a guy, but it was self-defense, man. I can't believe you're still holding on to that shit.
It kind of feels like stuff that they should have like made us more intriguing throughout the movie. Like all that kind of like, why was he in here? Like there's nothing like that.
I kind of like it. Like to me, that's the stuff that felt very like John Woo or like Hong Kong action movie or stuff, where it's just like bam, bam, bam. Like it's just moving.
It doesn't really fit with the rest of the movie. It's the thing. It feels like a separate thing.
I disagree.
But that's my big thoughts. Is I was just like you know what, this movie does work on TV. It works like catching bits and pieces, and it's not
on TNT.
I think it kind of sucks as a whole in a weird way. You know what I mean? Like it's weird about it. But maybe I didn't really. I don't know. I don't have the attachment to it. But. I mean, unless you want to go, Dave, but I have a big revelation that I've been looking at.
No, go ahead, go for it.
So we didn't talk about the director of this movie. He kind of has a lot of stinkers, Simon West.
I mean, he is very much like we have Michael Bay at home. His career,
like he did, like you know,
he did the Tomb Raider movie.
He did The Mechanic recently, Expendables 2, but recently, probably his most famous thing
was not
ever
recently
is he directed Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley music video.
Wow.
Is,
okay.
He is the has made the Rick Roll music video.
He's wow.
He was the first one to ever Rick Roll us.
Saying,
so much like
that's probably his most
so much
watched
like
thing.
Michael Bay, he comes from music videos.
Yeah, all
not
these guys
really.
Do.
I don't think he really did because I'm looking at his he did like three music videos.
Well, but look, the, you know, it's your foot in the door, get
look
the
at,
experience.
Look at the Chattopedia for Never Gonna Give You Up page, the for the music video. So I'm saying that's what's a kind of a crazy thing. So anyway.
I always, you know, I feel like this movie often like kind of has that Poltergeist effect where everyone thinks like, oh yeah, Michael Bay directed that, right? Or like in Poltergeist, oh, didn't Spielberg technically direct that? This feels like a movie where it's like, didn't Bay? That was a Bay,
or,
right?
Or maybe it was Bruckheimer or something, you know? But I don't know. Yeah. It has its own things. I think like the legacies of the gifts, and there's a lot of in like, and we've gone to appreciate Kurt Cage, where I think this movie came out, and we're like, what is up with Cage?
Yeah,
is he
oh,
bad?
What's he doing? He looks silly. But, and it's just like, yeah, of course he does. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know. So there's things like that. I think that are good stuff, and it's not a boring movie at all. Or anything.
Not.
It's
at
just
all.
It's just one of these things like where I'm just, it feels a little bit like sloppy in a way that like I don't know. That.
I mean, if we're comparing the two movies, like I feel like, well,
this movie
so
this,
far we've only watched two
this
movies.
This movie is
Air
junk
Force
food.
One and,
it's fast food. This is the big arch. Yeah. It's just an onslaught of garbage in your face. Parentheses positive. Like,
yeah.
So we're two in. I would honestly say, Mike, you're gonna hate me for this, but I think now I finally got some backup with me. I got my own guy in the chair, like back in the situation room. But of the two, I think I prefer Air Force One to this.
Yeah,
Ryan, you better be with me on this one.
I get it. I get that. But like, I absolutely prefer this movie. I like this movie quite a bit. Like,
I feel like Air Force One's just a bit more focused.
I think it's
a focus and emotional to me, I think. You
know? Yeah, that too.
I think that like the thing for me for this movie is like it's such a good time at the movies movie, you know, like popcorn munching movie ass movie. There's just like so many fun moments in this that I was like laughing and couldn't believe what I was seeing a lot for this movie. I mean, maybe that too is part is like you guys have seen this before. I've never seen this before. So it was, I didn't even know this is like where the meme was from. So that was kind of fun. Just being like, you know, there's a lot of moments like that where I'm like, oh, that's that moment, you know?
The movie literally ends with a roll call. And the last one we get is Nick Cage giving an eye wink to the audience. Like, hey.
Yeah, the American Graffiti, like, it should have done, like, the Where Are They Now? You know, I guess a lot of them were just dead, but
they divorced 2 months later.
Nicolas Cage divorced and was convicted of manslaughter again.
Again.
He hired the same attorney who told him to plead guilty. Experts agree he had a ironclad self-defense argument again.
Well, what about you, Jackie?
I recommend this film. It's, like we said, a big fun time at the movies. Yeah. What more can you say?
Oh, well, yeah, I recommend here too. I definitely recommend this movie. It's a blast. It's a hoot. But just so far ranking our Air Pearl movies, this would be below Air Force One.
I didn't watch Air Force One and I find the concept pretty boring. So yeah, my hot take for, Air Force One that I have, you know, caught on TV more than once of just like, no, Harrison Ford is way too hot to be president. Why would I trust that man? Come on.
He is hot in that movie,
come
man.
On. He's too sexy. I don't want a politician to look like that. So,
we were talking about like things that this movie takes from. What they even take a gag from Die Hard 3. There's a moment at the end of the movie after the plane has crashed where they're like assessing the damage. People are going into the plane. They see Danny Trejo, who's been handcuffed, his arms up in the air. And they're like, they look at it, they take one look at him. And they're like, okay, yeah, this guy's dead. And it's like a trick of the camera. They like take his body and you realize that his arms have been severed. And they do that same gag in Die Hard 3 where the guy gets cut by the wire and like Sam Jackson and Bruce Willis are like dragging the guy. They're like, okay, there's like a moment where they're looking down at the ground and they're like, okay, you get his feet. And they're like, okay, so they're going to drag a body off. But then the way the shot is, they're like side by side. So the suggestion is the guy got cut in half.
Pretty sick.
Anywho, I just wanted to mention that. That was yet another movie that this took from.
But yeah, so I would rank this above Air Force One because I don't care about that movie, and this one I had fun with.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't. This doesn't have action scenes to me. It does, but it's not really about
what?
That. Like, I'm saying, like, it does, but
that's
it doesn't.
The same thing you've ever said.
I'm just
right?
saying, like, character based.
This movie, Con Air, doesn't have action.
I'm just saying, like, character based stuff. That's just like, I don't know. There's nothing. It's just a bunch of guys in a. I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna.
It's a cartoon. Fucking snakes on a motherfucking plane.
Yeah, it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
There's nothing harrowing. It's to me. It's a little bit like too. It's just. I don't know. I'm just. It's whatever. I think.
Well, all right. Well, so have any of you guys taken? I just before we get in, you know, just to kind of set up our next episode in April. Have you guys ever taken skydiving lessons?
I have. I've dove out of a plane before.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we'll see if you... I'm curious if this next movie will live up to your experience of skydiving, Ryan. When we return, we'll be circling back to a movie we said we were going to watch last year when we watched Passenger 57. Ryan, you are finally going to get some closure after having stayed in the Drop Zone hotel room in Planet Hollywood,
whoa,
Las Vegas. Next up on April, we'll be jumping out of the plane with Drop Zone.
I've been waiting my whole life for this.
He's ready.
Okay, now remember, this is you pull on this. If that doesn't work, this is your red one, your emergency chute. You pull on that, okay?
It's the lollipop.
It's the yeah, that's the line
that's
I can remember.
Air Force
Thank you,
one,
Michael.
Isn't it?
Yeah, this is your lollipop. William H. Macy is explaining it.
This
is
your
lollipop.
Lollipop.
Pull this. I can't believe you pulled that line.
It stood out.
Put the bunny back in the box.